Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Elizabeth Dwoskin was writing about this in Washington Post. She's on a line right now. Elizabeth, this is John Williams. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Jump in there. Based on what I've said, what do you want to say?
I think that, so the question is, this video was up. It was first posted. There were a series of videos that were posted between 11:09 and 11:22 a.m. on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
It took Facebook an hour and a half to receive its first report of the killings, and then the company said from there it took them 23 minutes to disable the account of Steve Stevens, a man who apparently shot an elderly gentleman in broad daylight on Easter Sunday. So the question, there are two questions. One is 23 minutes too long? Now, one thing the company won't share is just how many times that video was shared. We know that it was went already within those few hours that it was up, went all over social media, including other social media like YouTube and Instagram, and then also news organizations, which didn't actually publish the violent broadcast, the murder itself, but they reposted it. And this was clearly against all of Facebook's policies. But the bigger question is whether the systems that they've built are set up so that this won't happen again. I mean, how is these policies that say you can't do this, but are they building a system where these things don't happen? Are we going to see more murders on Facebook and more graphic images, more violence, and more death with the rise of live video? And I think there the answer is we will, because we will see a lot more of these. Because they don't, you know, they refuse to screen or vet live video before it comes out. When they launched this live video streaming about a year ago, anyone can just post a live video to their account. Now, that's different from how news organizations do it. News organizations, when they're broadcasting live television, often leave a 7-second lag between the live, the footage and the actual broadcast. And within those 7 seconds, they're just looking to see that their policies against publishing broadcasting graphic imagery aren't violated. But Facebook doesn't have any lag or delay, and they don't screen, and they say that it would just be too many people to do that, given the scale of their service with over a billion users. So the question is are they really serious about those policies? Are they really serious about not showing this stuff? It seems like they've set up a system where it's going to happen again.
Yeah. Well, in fact, Zuckerberg himself originally said, I'm looking for the raw experience, you know, and it might be mundane. You say at a carousel waiting for your baggage to come down and you want to chat with the world or your friends. You can live stream that. Tomorrow, I'm going to live stream me eating some bugs as a stunt at a restaurant, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, that's what he wants, is that sort of, he certainly doesn't want violence, but they don't want it to go through filters, right?
He has said that he wants to support a platform where people can express, like he said, to support all the, quote, raw and visceral ways that people communicate. But, you know, I've been at Facebook's developers conference. I'm the Silicon Valley correspondent for the Post, and I've been at their developers conference, their annual big dog and pony show in San Jose for the last 2 days. And it seems like they don't really want to be that visceral. I mean, all they really talked about in the conference was how you should use the service for fun things like broadcasting a live, like a live telenovela, a sitcom. There are some actors troops that are actually doing live sitcoms where the audience can vote on the future of the sitcom, or people broadcasting music videos, or people broadcasting the pregnant giraffe that everybody was watching live.
Yeah, right.
So it's more like the message that you really get is we'd like to reclaim fun and be silly and playful and be the place where people goof off. But they have this dark side that was barely spoken about. It hasn't even been mentioned here except by one acknowledgement by Mark Zuckerberg in his keynote. Other than that, it hasn't even come up from the company.
So maybe, all right, maybe that's bad. Maybe they should have talked about it more, addressed it more. But Lord, what can they do about this, Elizabeth? How could they monitor it? How can they keep people from live streaming or later posting violent videos?
So there's something that I would like to know, which is they talk a lot about artificial intelligence and basically teaching computers to scan videos and recognize what's in them, computer vision. Those technologies are pretty early days, but they're getting better all the time. And Facebook says, you know, it uses a combination of human moderators and also automated tools. But what I wonder is whether they couldn't, like, have some tool, just some really basic computer vision tool that anytime someone posted a live video, they would basically just have the AI very quickly screen the video. And if it just looked like there was some violence in the video, some act of violence, maybe the computer could be trained to recognize guns or to recognize gun shootings. But then you think, well, that happens all the time in movies too. So I don't know what you train the computer, but I wonder if there are some signals that you could teach a computer to just say, hey, yeah, let's slow down. Let's just give this a second look before we post it.
Or I guess you could say, get in line and we'll release your video when we can. And it might be a couple of weeks. You know what I'm also...
If they're really serious about it, that's what they should do. But their argument is that, you know, that could stop also a lot of important things from being posted. Like, what about videos from protests or just real-time events, breaking news that's happening? And they say that, you know, that would create this lag where then their service wouldn't be relevant for millions of important and socially valuable use cases as well.
Well, and the opposite is true, too. And maybe it would actually help people. I'm thinking of Philando Castile and Diamond Reynolds. She was the woman who called out on Facebook and said, hey, everybody, my boyfriend's been shot. And you were able to see that in real time. But the idea was, help me out here. Granted, that was a little more complicated. The altercation was with the police, so it's not like the police were going to come and save her, but that was sort of her lifeline to her friends and to the world. Hey, I'm in trouble. I need help.
Yeah, and it galvanized the entire country. And, you know, even Mark Zuckerberg himself there, that, you know, that's a use case that Facebook sees as a positive use of its service.
They do. They do. Really. They see that story as a good use of their service. Wow.
Well, they also apologize to, not apologize, but they express condolences to Philando Castile. Mark Zuckerberg himself did. You know, it did go down for an hour, but they claimed that was a technical glitch, that they weren't actually trying to suppress the video. And what would probably happen during the glitch, if you remember, that video was down for an hour. And a lot of people said, how could you be blocking this? You know, this person is getting murdered, and it's a cry for help from his girlfriend, and this is a very socially important thing for people to see. And what Facebook said is that a lot of people, when the video first went up, a lot of people were flagging it as violent and disturbing. And so that basically went
right
through an automated system where they
really
said it just got so many red flags from users that the system just automatically blocked it. No. That could be a lie. We don't know if the company is being truthful about that. But if it is true, it is interesting that, you know, the system actually, in this case, it kind of did work to block violence, only it wasn't the kind of violence that you wanted to block.
Well, but listen
that
to this.
Shows how it cuts both ways.
But here's an observation from one of our listeners who just texted, if the crime was not posted on Facebook, would the criminal have been caught? We wouldn't have evidence to convict the criminal. In this case, the criminal committed suicide. But, I mean, that's interesting that these dum-dums sometimes out themselves. But it also begs the question, Elizabeth, I wonder if they would do the crime if they didn't have the opportunity to broadcast it, in the case of Steve Stevens, right?
You know, there are some studies of violence as performative acts, and that's coming out. I mean, the big example is ICE, you know, beheadings in ISIS are used, they always videotape their beheadings and try to post them, and they use that as a recruiting tool. But, you know, there's also something that happens where, you know, people who are really deranged and feel like they're powerless in the world, and you kill somebody, and that's like a way of saying, I'm here, I did this. It's like, it's ego, and it's sort of showing you're powerful. And certainly there are people who are motivated to share violence because it makes them seem powerful. Now, whether they would have killed somebody if they couldn't share it is a different question. But whether the possibility of sharing it is really attractive to murderers and people who commit violent acts, you know, it scares others. It's a way to scare people. Yeah, people who do those kinds of things are definitely attracted to the idea of broadcasting them.
Yeah, maybe they wouldn't. Maybe they would not do it were it not for the opportunity to do it live. It's a 2:21. This is WGN Radio. Elizabeth Dwoskin's on the line. Washington Post, Silicon Valley correspondent on Facebook. We're talking about their responsibility or the responsibility that Facebook does or does not have for these sorts of things. And Elizabeth, I'm hearing you say that, okay, maybe Zuckerberg should have talked about it more at the big conference, and maybe they should have brought it down sooner, but 23 minutes to me is not the end of the earth. You know, the real tragedy is that it happened, not that it was up for as long as it was. So let me just go back to a couple of calls from our listeners. And the question for you is, so now what's Facebook supposed to do? Because I don't think we all want them to disable that feature. Somebody else would pick it up anyway, right? I mean, I just think this is sort of a natural consequence of a digital world. And I hate to say this, but I don't think there's anything we can do about it. Just the last couple minutes here with Elizabeth Dwoskin. She writes about, what is your exact beat for the Washington Post, Elizabeth?
I'm their Silicon Valley correspondent.
Lots of questions for you or comments about this Facebook conversation. We'll just pick a couple here. Let's go with Rakesh.
Hey, King John. How are you doing?
Good to hear your voice. What can I do for you?
First off, your guest, Elizabeth, brought into light quite a few important aspects. And thank you so much, Elizabeth, for giving us Chicago and some of your time.
Thank you.
I'm very disturbed to hear what happened earlier also in the live rape broadcast that was done, and then the murder that took place.
Right.
And I very agree, Facebook cannot monitor immediately everything. But I feel that Facebook should have some pre-appointed Facebook sheriffs, if I may say, in areas. So if I find something offensive, I just click on a flag, it short-circuits me the notice, and if I see that the content is really bad, I alert two people, either Facebook, of course, but if it's of a criminal nature like the last story or the previous one before that, then the police department too. So everywhere the time lag for either pulling down the offensive material or catching the criminals would be faster. And
wait, you're proposing an army of civilian monitors for Facebook, Rakesh?
Well, it would be by geographic areas, like in Chicagoland, there could be about 200 people.
So, well, hold on. No, I get it. But, I mean, maybe they could get the Reddit people. They're very connected and like monitoring other people. Elizabeth, is there anything to his suggestion, maybe?
I think that they'd have to pay those people, and they'd have to pay a lot of them because of the scale of video. I mean, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of millions of videos. Today, 1 in 4 videos on Facebook is a live video. So I think right now they do have those tools. Like, Rakesh, if you are on Facebook and you see something that's graphic, you can report it. But it's probably not going to get – and then they hire people actually in other countries that work basically like call centers in other countries that actually do monitor video.
Really?
24/7.
Really? Really? So they do have eyeballs. So yeah. And they're at a call center in India or someplace like that.
They won't disclose what country it is. My guess is the Philippines, actually. But yeah, they say that they have people all over the world, and they say that who are receiving those reports 24/7. So either they're not hiring enough people, or there is just it's impossible to actually hire enough people to do this. And I don't know the answer. How many? And that's one thing, by the way, that the company doesn't share. And it's pretty much very, very tight-lipped about, which is when you ask them, how many people do you have working on this problem? They'll say, oh, well, we have people all over the world doing this 24/7. You say, how many? How much do you invest in it? What kind of resources do you put into it? You know, so would really, and those answers would, more transparency would invite a public discussion about whether the company should be investing in resources.
Okay.
It could be shareholder lawsuits as well. Maybe the board wants to know, are you putting enough into this?
Yeah. But
they
Bob,
in their annual reports.
Rakesh, thanks for the call, but I just want to let Bob get in here because I think he's on the other side of the fence. Hey, Bob, you're on the air.
Thank you. How's everybody?
Good. Go ahead.
I say leave it alone. Leave it alone. There are, at any given point in time, there is the equivalent of the entire population of the United States, 300 and some million people on Facebook at any given point in time. You can't fool around with monitoring it. There's some infinitesimal small percentage of videos that might be bad. It's so small, I don't know how you'd even measure it. And I will tell you this, my background is in scanning massive, massive amounts of data. And you just can't do it. You can't. The moment you take the spontaneity out of Facebook, it loses its charm. You would be taking away, if you're going to monitor, however you want to do it, if you want to monitor grandma capturing the first steps of her grandson, you know, there's going to be, you're just going to create a market for an alternative. You just have to go with it. There's bad people out there. ISIS uses YouTube and they kill people on YouTube.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's going to happen.
Let's get a response. Hold on a second.
Small percentage.
No, I got you, Bob. I got you. Hold on. Go ahead, Elizabeth. Okay. Jump in there.
You're saying, Bob's just saying, you know, let it all go. Laissez faire. Just have it be a free-for-all. Have no policies.
Well,
don't even have policies.
I think he's taking the responsibility away from Facebook on this. I mean, Facebook did not pull the trigger. Facebook is just the medium. They're just the conduit. They're where the person posted it. But
like I said, historically, news organizations, which have been platforms and conduits, have actually exercised editorial judgment on these very types of graphic things, specifically because they felt that they had a responsibility to the public.
Yeah.
So platforms historically have felt that responsibility. And just because Facebook is much bigger, mean far, far bigger, does that mean that they don't have that same responsibility?
It's a good question. Elizabeth Dwoskin for The Washington Post. You can read her online right now. Elizabeth, you and I have not met before. You're terrific. I really appreciate your time with us this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really enjoyed it.